Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Rota Report podcast in association with the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. It's Gav back ahead of the first leg of the semi-finals of the Championship playoffs this season. Delighted to be able to even say that. We did think that it might have been the last ever preview last week. But no, we've got a game against Luton to play this weekend. And joining me is Chris. Hi, mate.
We said we'd be back for a preview.
Oh, yes, we did. And it's a big one, isn't it? I mean, how are you feeling? Because I'm a bit nervous already. And I'm not normally nervous. I'm normally quite calm and collected and think Sunderland's going to walk it and all the rest of it. But I'm a little bit nervous about this and I don't know why. Maybe the closer I get to it, maybe the occasion, it'll all swallow us up a bit and I'll be full of it. Maybe after a few pints on Saturday before the game. But at the minute, I'm a bit nervous.
I am nervous, but I don't feel the same nerves like I felt last year against Sheffield Wednesday. It's a different nervous. I'm excited nervous this time. It's more, I'm up for it, but being nervous. Like again, when we were coming up to the Sheffield Wednesday games last year, I mean, I was crapping myself. I mean, I thought, you know, just because, like I've said before, how desperate I was to get out of League One, and it feels different. This semi-final feels different. It feels like an excitement. It feels like it's a good thing. Like last year, it was just filled with dread, even though I thought, you know, I was confident we'd do all right because we were flying and we were on a good run and all that sort of stuff last year. I was just dreading it because, you know, playoffs are playoffs and what one thing can happen. Whereas this time around, I'm kind of, I've got the outlook thinking it's a win-win situation because I'm not going to be absolutely devastated like I would have been last year. But yeah, I'm excited, nervous. I'd like us, you know, you want to go to Wembley, you know, you're in it to win it, you know, so you're going to feel nervous.
Absolutely, yeah.
But
yeah.
not like last season.
No, nothing like last season. Different feeling. Well, we don't have any pressure on us, let's be honest. You know, nobody expected us to get this far. We're here now. And I think it's interesting when you listen to the players and the manager talk because fans are all saying, you know, we're delighted to be there and, you know, there's very little pressure on us and all the rest of it. And then you listen to Tony Mowbray and he's been very coy and he hasn't really put any pressure on his players whatsoever. Maybe behind the scenes, the conversations have been very different because then you hear the likes of Jack Clark and Trey Hume recently doing interviews where they've talked about how the players set themselves a target at the start of the season to get this far. And I think Clark even said something along the lines of that he was a little bit disappointed we left it as late as we did to get into the playoffs. So maybe behind the scenes, the conversations are a little bit different and the pressure's a little bit more intense, I guess. But for me, it's just one of those things that you've got to relish. Not just as a club, as a player, if you're one of the players or the manager, but as a fan, you've got to relish this as an occasion because not many teams get to even experience this. We've got to do it twice now. In fact, more than that, we actually made the playoffs a number of times in League One. So we're quite used to this feeling, and I've made this point repeatedly in the last few weeks. We won this, all right, it was a league below, but we won a playoff like a year ago. Most of these players were here then. They've been through this range of emotions. They've been through having to prepare for it. They've actually been through winning in the semi-finals, winning in the final. Last year, obviously, when we played Sheffield Wednesday, the games worked out the same sort of way. We were at the stadium like first, then we were away at Hillsborough in the second leg. And this time around, we're at home first and we're away. And it just seems to suit us that way, I think, because we're a better away team. So, like, yes, very nervous, sort of worrying about maybe, like, you know, things not going well on Saturday and that really putting a dampener on things going into Tuesday. But to be honest, I've got nothing to worry about really when I think about it, because, like, these lads have just got everything about them. They're such a good team, and I think we're going to give a good account of ourselves whether we go through or not. So really, there's nothing to be nervous about. We should just be excited and hopeful.
Well, yeah. Like I said, I can't tell if it's more excitement or the nerves are kicking in, but I am up for it. I'm more than, like I said, I was partly dreading last year. But it was interesting, that comment from Clark that you mentioned there, that gave a little insight to how the players have been approaching this. I think the club probably have told them to, or at least Mowbray might have told them not to use the P word, the playoffs or promotion. They've been following Mowbray's lead and playing it down and just saying game by game, which you know, the best way to be in situations like this. But it was interesting where Clark let it slip, where he's almost like, yeah, the lads have been talking about it, and we'll be, you know, and it was great though, because, you know, we've talked about some of the games where we were disappointed to come out with a draw, or, you know, those two away games that we talked about in February that we were disappointed that we didn't pick up any points there. And it gave a little insight that the players were disappointed as well, and that they're thinking that actually we could have done better this season. And they've got similar frustrations to us that we've had in some of the games, even though we know they've done fantastic. And for any lucky soul who read the editorial that went out this week, and I noticed your comment straight off the bat that said it was a bit late, but I'm not apologising for that. But if anyone read that, I mean, I tried to put it into perspective, just that achievement of finishing in the top six, where only two sides since the playoffs started in 1986-87 have finished in the top six in the season after going up from the third tier through the playoffs. And that was, you know,
Who was the other side?
It was Neil Warnock's Notts County in 91, then Man City in 2000. And again, I looked back, you know, the 36 years since the playoffs began, which made us feel old. The average position in the second tier after a team's come up from the playoffs is 16th. And in only 11 out of those 36 years, has sides finished above 12th. So, I mean, that kind of puts it into perspective. And then when you're then thrown into the mix that actually it's a massive achievement that only two clubs have done before in the last 36 years, but the players are disappointed that we're waiting to the last day. I mean, it tells you how hugely impressive this team's been this season, but also the mentality behind the scenes that they think we can do even better.
Yeah, and they've all got designs on being Premier League footballers, and they want to do it here, you know. You can see from from everything, all of the interactions you see between the players and the behind-the-scenes videos that we're lucky enough to see, the interviews after games, the way they celebrate on the pitch together. Like, this group really do enjoy being around each other. There's no egos, there's no individuals. Everyone's in check, everyone knows their place. And it's a really happy camp, really happy camp. They're all good mates. You've got the French boys who obviously they naturally group together, but they are fully integrated and they're in with the other players, and you're watching Ekwan, Bar and Ahmad getting in amongst it with the rest of them, because this is a proper squad. This is how a squad should function. And I imagine that for the majority of those players, they want to do this with Sunderland. They don't really want to have to come the end of the season if their natural path is sort of into the Premier League. They don't really want to have to leave because they quite like it here. They quite like the football we play and the lads they play with, and, you know, the ambition of the club and the... We've went over this and over this and over this, but what a lot of people refer to as the plan or the philosophy, or we don't really know what it is, but we can sort of guess what it is. And it all feeds into that, you know. A lot of these lads will have been told when they signed for Sunderland, we want to get promoted, we want you to be part of it. And obviously, yeah, we're probably reaching, we're probably exceeding expectations at this point. But for the likes of Jack Clark, he was a Premier League footballer up until the summer, you know, maybe not playing games for Tottenham, but he was part of Tottenham's squad. And he's not going to want to be out of that league for too long. And he's improved enough to warrant to be called a player who could potentially play at that level. So why wouldn't they be ambitious? Why wouldn't they believe in themselves to do it? Because for me, if you play in a squad who plays the way we do, every day must be just a dream to be a footballer. And that positivity is unrelenting. And me and you, before we started, actually, we looked at a couple of things and we both didn't realise that Luton are unbeaten in 14 games. But that genuinely doesn't daunt me, and I don't think it'll daunt the players particularly. I think they'll look at that and they'll think, it's just another game against another team and we have to just do what we are good at. We can't worry about Luton too much. We're just going to have to go out there, do what Sunderland do, play good football, attack, score goals, and we'll be fine. And to me, it's just the best approach to take. Because if we just sit and go, oh God, Luton are physical and they're bigger than we are and they're good at time-wasting and they're very well up, then you're just going to end up diverting from the plan, aren't you? You're just going to end up doing the complete opposite of what you're good at. And that what we're good at got us to this point. So, you know, if you're the players like Tony Mowbray, you sort of just got to throw your hands in the air and go, we're just going to do what Sunderland do every week. And if it's not good enough, then we'll sit down in the summer and still be happy with where we are.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, just to touch on that, you mentioned that team unity. I mean, it's only a small moment, but in the celebrations, because, you know, a great moment, you know, you saw Ahmad. I thought there was a great moment when the final whistle went and there was a camera on Ahmad and Lyndon Gooch on the bench. And Ahmad was kind of standing up and he just put his arms in the air. And I think he was desperate as anyone else to play another game for us, to be honest. I think he's just... and you're right, you talked about Jack Clark and people like Ahmad, that the football they're playing and the freedom that they're playing with. They, you know, if someone turned around to them and said, right, lads, you've got another 37 games, they'd be like, yeah, brilliant, bring it on, fantastic, can't wait.
Yeah.
In all of the celebrations talking about that team unity, there was a couple of moments that kind of stood out, which were probably went under the radar. But to me, it was a good signal of, you know, as much as you see it in the big moments, like Luke O'Neill running over the fans and Ahmad standing in front of the fans. I saw Isaac Lihaji, who has been on the bench quite a lot recently and hasn't had a minute on the pitch, but was right involved in the celebrations and all the lads were involving him. And I saw Corey Evans as well. So, you know, you talked about injured players travelling with the team and kind of getting involved and, you know, shouting into the camera. You know, he was buzzing. But, you know, players like that who aren't necessarily involved, they're there and they're involved and the other players are celebrating with them. But, yeah, I mean, look, you mentioned Luton and the stats. I mean, they are worth looking at. I mean, don't get us wrong. Look, the playoffs are the playoffs and they're a slightly different beast to you know, than just playing them in a normal kind of standard league season, and that there's different pressures behind it. But, you know, we did start looking at it and, you know, in the last seven, they've won five, drew two. They're beaten in 12 games away from home. They haven't been beaten since 10th of December. They've lost one in the last 10, and that was Burnley back in February. They're unbeaten in the last 14. The other one I was looking at was away from home. They've got the best defensive record in the division, only conceded 18 in 23, and 48% of their games away from home, they've kept a clean sheet. So, I mean, look, they're worth looking at, and the stats team at Sunderland are going to be looking at things like that, and they're going to be looking at the defensive record and where they've conceded goals and all the breakdown of that as well. But again, coming back to us, which we keep bringing it back to all the time, like our players will, you know, even if they're aware of those stats or not aware of those stats, they know that Luton are a good side. But we've went up against them twice this season and they're an ugly side, they're an organised side, but they're nothing special. You know, if we turn it on and we play football around them, we, you know, just like anybody else in this division, on our day we can beat them. And that's what the players are going to be going into this game with, just like they did at West Brom, just like they did at Preston, just like they did at Burnley and Norwich, and you could probably rattle a whole load of other games off this season. You heard Jack Clark talking. They know they could beat anybody, and that's the mentality they're going to go into these games with.
Quick pop quiz, and I'm hoping you haven't looked this up. Ooh. But do you remember the last time we were beaten by Luton in a league game? Oh. Right up your era, by the way. So I'm expecting you to know this.
I think I looked at this the last time I did the preview. Isn't it like 93 or something like that?
Close, 94. We lost 3-0 away at Kenilworth Road. Mick Buxton was the manager. David Pleat was the Luton Town manager. And you'll never guess who the ex-Sunderland player was on the bench that day, the unused sub. You'll never guess it.
For Luton?
Yeah.
In 94?
I would never have guessed this until I just looked it up.
Oh, Luton in 94. You're going to have to
give you a
up.
Clue.
You're going to have to... Oh, go on then.
I'll give you a clue. We signed them from Ipswich.
You're going to have to pause out my misery. I'm going to kick myself.
Kelvin Davis.
Oh, really?
Sub goalkeeper for Luton that day. Yeah.
There you go.
Never even knew he played for them, but there you go. Yeah, we got battered 3-0. That's the last time that Sunderland lost in a league game against Luton. We did actually lose 3-0 to them when Roy Keane was manager in the League Cup in 2007. That's the last time we lost. Last time we beat them was the 5-0 under Roy Keane, final game of the season when we won the championship. And I was at that game and it was unbelievable. And probably one of the best memories I'll ever have of being at a Sunderland game, because if anyone listening remembers, you actually had to be invited to that game, which was a bit of an honour at the time. I think we played Colchester a few weeks before as well, and that was invite only. But Kenilworth Road is tiny, it's small. I think we've had similar problems this time around, albeit with modern ticketing, where I think you had to have 100 loyalty points to even qualify to apply for tickets. So, yeah, Kenilworth Road, tiny little ground, and a place where not many teams have gone and taken points this season. You know, and people take the piss out of Kenilworth Road. I've probably done it, you know, because when I went...
Quite rightly.
I think I had to walk through someone's backyard to get into the away end, and it's probably never changed. So, but they make the most of it, don't they? You know what I mean? You know, this is a club who, 10 years ago were playing in the conference, the National League? Yeah. Something like that. And they've, you know, this is a club who've done, they've overachieved really. And where they are now, they should be really proud of where they are, because to even be in the conversation about playing the Premier League for a club like Luton is massive, really. So, you know, credit to them. I mean, Kenilworth Road's not going to be easy for us, is it? I think that we talk about our away record, and we've got to get over this first hump first, of course, at Stadium of Light. But what do you think about the order of the games? Because traditionally, it's meant to favour the team who finished third, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And looking at the stats, that, you know, both sides are actually have been better away from home this season. I wonder if Luton had been given the choice, they might have actually switched it. They might have wanted to play the game at home. But just going back to that 5-0, actually, because Luton got relegated that day, and then after that they kind of dropped through the leagues, because like 3 years later they were in the conference, which was bizarre. But anyway, Kenilworth Road is ridiculous. We saw when we played them in the 1-1 earlier this season that you know, it's a tight ground, and I remember the first 20 minutes of that game, they just tried to smash into us as much as possible. And it was just physical. Every 50-50 tackle, they were just kind of smashing into us. They were going over the top. But that's Luton. And you've got fair play. I mean, you play with what you've got. And that's the squad they've got. I saw a stat as well the other day talking about players under the age of 22, how many minutes they've played in the Championship this season. And I think Luton was something like second bottom or something like that. I'm pretty sure we had you know, something ridiculous. Like we had 27,000 and they had 3,000, something like that. But yeah, that sums them up. They're experienced, they're tough, they're physical. And that's it. We've just got to play our football and we've got to play around them. But we've got to be aware of, you know, things like, especially set pieces. That's going to be where Luton are going to focus. That type of thing, you know, corners. They're going to get the ball wide, get it in the box for two big men. And we've got to be aware of that. So we've got to be on the ball on that front. But again, get the ball down, get the ball to our front men. And you know, hopefully they can do the damage like they did at the weekend.
Yeah, they've had a sort of a break. I'm only calling it a break because when they played Hull on Monday, they just rested everybody who is likely to be valuable in that game against us. So not everybody, but a lot of the players who are going to be valuable. So they've had a little bit of a break. We haven't. I don't know if that matters really, because I think, you know, one of the benefits of us having so many injuries is that we've had a smaller group to pick from. And that cohesiveness has developed over the season. And even though, yeah, we only played a few days back, there's a lot of momentum there with how we played. You know, wouldn't you prefer to have that group of players together?
Well, I was going to say, do you think that's a good thing? Because I actually think if players step out for a week, can they just turn it on? You know, sometimes they want to just keep that momentum up and keep the players doing what they're doing and keep them in their rhythm. But if you take them all out and they've had a break of a couple of weeks, do you not think that has the potential to knock them out of their stride a little bit?
Well, possibly, yeah. I mean, if you look at their recent form, they drew with Millwall. Then they beat Blackpool and Rotherham, which you would expect them to do. Then they drew with Redden, and Redden played most of the second half with 10 men and were ahead. It was only the 80th minute when they got that equaliser, Luton. So, and Reading got relegated. And then they went to Middlesbrough, they played Middlesbrough and beat Middlesbrough, which is a cracking result. But I think, to be fair, by the time that game came around, Borough had sort of checked out because they already knew they were in the playoffs. And a bit like Luton, sort of took their eye off the ball for a couple of games. Drew with Blackburn and were winning in that game up until the last few minutes. And then Blackburn got the equaliser, which ended up being a good result for us because it kept Blackburn hungry for that final game. And like I say, they dropped players for the whole game. And I guess mentally, they're trying to prepare themselves for two grueling games. It's going to be, you know, pretty tasking on them. They've got to come all the way up here on Saturday and then they've got to go back down for the Tuesday game. So there's a quick turnaround and there's a lot of distance to be covered and stuff in terms of travel and all the rest of it. But I don't know. I would probably have to cop out on that a little bit and say I don't really know because I don't know Luton enough. But I think if it was Sunderland, I would prefer the players to keep playing together because just knowing our squad, and like I say, I don't know their squad a great deal, but knowing our squad, I think a lot of the good play we've had this season has come as a result of the understanding that they've gained from each other and they're sharp and they're on it. And it's all to do with just playing together every single week, sometimes twice a week. So no, it might be different for Luton. They dropped their top scorer, didn't they, for the whole game, Carlton Morris, and we know what he can do. Interesting as well, just looking at the team from that day, Leon Diakou started, Bailey Wright started. Very different looking Sunderland team to the one that played there earlier in the season. But more recently, of course, we played them at the Stadium of Light, drew 1-1. It wasn't a great game, was it? I remember me and you talking after that about the quality of it. To me, it was two poor teams on the day. Didn't think much of Luton at all. So I was expecting quite a lot of them going into the game. And I just thought they were very meh. Like, I thought we were just rubbish. If we'd played well on the day, we probably would have beat them. And it wasn't because they were particularly organised or that, you know, I didn't feel like they really did anything particularly great to stop us. They were just, I guess, solid. But on the day, I was a bit like, you know, they were there for the taking, really. So,
but you've just summed Luton up. All they did, that's what they do. They're not spectacular in any way except when they're under pressure or when the opposition's got the ball. They put players in the way and that's it. They know where they need to be when the opposition's got the ball and they've got that kind of muscle memory to just get into position and to make it difficult and just be a pain in the backside. And they were, I mean, that day at the Stadium of Light back in, when was it, March, late March, they dragged us down to their level where basically we struggled because we've struggled quite a lot against teams who just sit in and we can't break them down because especially without a striker who stretches the play and tries to make a run in behind. We line up across the box quite often at home, which I've mentioned before. And we did that against Luton. We were passing it sideways across the box. And when you do that too much, you know, chances are you're going to get caught at some point. But, you know, we needed that penalty in the end. And from memory, it was a bit of an iffy one. It was 50-50. It was one of them that might not have been given on another day. But yeah, they're that sort of team. And that's exactly what we're going to expect over the 2 days. And they're just going to try and grind it out over the two games. And I mean, fair play. I mean, their away form's good. So they're going to come up to try and nick it at our place. But it's up to us to break them down. And they're going to do exactly what they did in March. They're going to come, they're going to pack the box, they're going to get behind the ball, and they're going to try and catch us on the break or get a set piece, get a free kick in the midway inside our half and fling it into the box. And that's what they do. That's Luton Town, summed up.
Sunderland are unbeaten in their last 18 home games against Luton in all competitions. 1-12, drawn 6, since last losing 1-0 in September 1973. So there's a stat. And that people are going to be screaming at me for even mentioning that. Because records are there to be broken, of course, but it's not a bad stat, is it?
You've clearly read my preview from back in March, because I'm sure it was all in there.
I'm actually reading from Google. This is how much research goes into what I do. This is the fourth time Luton have played in the playoffs in their history, and they failed to win promotion from any of the previous three, going out in the semi-finals each time. most recently, obviously last season. So this is our eighth, fourth and last five seasons. Like I say, we've got a lot of recent experience in the squad. At this level, it's our first playoff campaign since what year, Chris?
Playoff what?
As in, spot.
What?
As last in, time we played in the playoffs at this level?
Oh, at this level, it was McCarthy, wasn't it? When we got
2004.
Got beat off Palace.
When we got beat off Palace, yes. And that one stung, didn't it? Jeff Whitley missing his penalty. Only Portsmouth have played more games in the Football League playoffs without winning a single game than Luton Town. They've also lost all three of their away games in the playoffs. So the stats do weigh in our favour, I must say. Apart from the important one, which is that they're unbeaten in 40.
Yeah, yeah. So are we ignoring all of them and just taking the ones that you've just said? Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. But I mean, like I say, we're unbeaten in 9. You know, I know that 14 is better than 9, obviously. But a lot of people are saying Sunderland are the team coming into this momentum, because Luton obviously ended the season with 3 draws and a win. They haven't been winning games. We've been winning games. Have we got the momentum going into this or not?
Kind of. I mean, we have got some momentum because of the way we got in the playoffs and the performance we put in against Preston. But and it's a strange one, because you look on paper and we're unbeaten in what? 1, 2, 3, 4. We're unbeaten in our last 5 at home. But on the flip side, I kind of think that we need to change it up a little bit on what we do at home, because I just think at Watford, we struggled against Watford, we struggled against Huddersfield, and we struggled against Birmingham, and the whole game was just a crazy game. And then it was Luton before that, which they kind of, like I said, dragged us down to their level and we couldn't break them down. But like I said, I said last time that I think the last 3 home games, especially Birmingham, Huddersfield, Watford, were carbon copies of each other. We did the same. We had the same plan. We came out and did the same thing, and we huffed and we puffed, and we didn't create all of that, you know, that many chances. And even though we came out of those, we got 5 points from those 3 games. Like, you know, I think at the time we were kind of fortunate to come away with those.
Yeah.
The Watford late goal, Huddersfield could have done us, and Birmingham, we kind of, you know, we really struggled against what I thought was a poor Birmingham side. So at home, I'd like us to be a little bit more, you know, we've talked about how we play away from home now, and we really like that, but we're more patient. And at home, we seem to want to rush, and we seem to want to get a goal in the first minute. And although that would be fantastic if we could do that, we seem to commit more players forward than we do away from home, which is natural. But the problem is the way we play, we're highly likely to get caught, and we do get caught on the break. But what I'd like us to do is be more patient and draw sides out, you know, like we do away from home, where even when we get into a good position, we bring the ball back and try and draw some players out and then hit them. We did it a couple of times against Preston, actually, where we knocked it right across and Dennis Sirkin went just like he did at West Brom. And if we do that, try and draw teams out a little bit, because what we do is we try and pen them in, but then there's no space. And the players we've got, they need space, you know, especially, you know, in the box, around the box. And if we don't draw some players out and then hit them quickly, then we tend to just end up giving the ball away, or it fizzles out or something like that. So I don't want us to just kind of commit too many players forward and be too eager to score early on. I mean, I think if we're patient and wait to get that opening goal, then it's almost like trying to play like we do away from home, but taking some of that into how we play at the Stadium of Light. And if we can do that, I just think it's got to be better than what we've seen in the last 3 games.
Yeah, and speaking of the last 3 games, Dan Neil and Pierre Ekwah have started together in all 3 of those games. Do you suspect we'll see the same midfield? Because I know he likes Edouard Michaud and Neil together at home, but they've started together in the last 3. I think, given the performances of Ekwah recently, it would be harsh to drop him. But knowing what we know about Luton from the last game, they don't really want to come and play football against you, necessarily. They're not that type of team. So who does he go with? Because he is going to be deliberating what to do, I would think. Even though Ekwah's been so good, does he maybe bring in another ball player somewhere along the lines? Does Pritchard even start? You know, he's, or does he just go with the team that did so well the other day? Because, I mean, how could you not with the way we played? But again, just to add on to that, because it just came back to us, it was actually the introduction of Pritchard for me which changed the game in the second half. And I said that to you on the last show we did. So what do we do?
Pritchard's been brilliant lately. You know, I mean, he came on, even looking at back at the last home game against Watford. I mean, he came on the hour, and you know, we scored two goals. We scored two goals while he was on the pitch. So I mean, and he scored that goal when, you know, the against Preston as well. So I mean, he's been brilliant lately. But I like the impact he's having from the bench, and we talked about the potentially, you know, of Roberts being on the bench for the Preston game. I just think, you know, if you're the manager having conversations with Pritchard at the minute, you'd want to emphasise how good he's been in changing games from the bench. So I'd prefer him to keep having that impact if we're in a position that we need it. The chances are, if you start him, he doesn't necessarily have that impact from the start. So I'd prefer to keep Pritchard where he is. With Ekwa, I'd be amazed if he went with Michu against Luton. I mean, I think just what I was talking about there about committing too many players forward, I think Ekwa's really good in not doing that. I think he gives Dan Neil a little bit more freedom. And I think Ekwa's very good at picking. You know, you saw how many times against Preston he won the ball in our own half and started a counter-attack. And I think a couple of goals came from it when he did that. And he likes to drive with the ball quickly and get us forward quickly. And the way Luton dig in and keep their positions, if we can win the ball off them while they're on the attack and they've committed a few players forward, then that gives us, I think, more of a chance of catching them on the break and actually getting something out of it, rather than doing it while they're in positions and they know what they're doing and, you know, they're getting in their trenches on the edge of the box. So, I'd be amazed if he went with Michu. I think, you know, if, let's say, we do go behind and we're looking for a goal, it might not be a bad thing to bring Michu on as a ball player to try and produce something and create something in the same way as Pritchard. But, again, as much as at home, the natural instinct is to be going out to win the game, I think from our point of view, looking at our away form and how confident we are there, I think from my point of view, the most important thing for us at home is not to concede.
Yeah, Tim Robinson is the referee, if you didn't already know. Wembley, I think the ref, most recent... No, that's the one next week. The referee in the away leg is the guy from Wembley. His name is, and I'm going to draw this out while I scroll down this page, Simon Hooper, who is a Premier League ref now. He's done 26 games in the Prem. But yeah, Tim Robinson is the referee, and most recently refereed their game between, which they drew with Reading, the one I talked about before, where Andy Carroll got sent off. So don't think his name springs to mind particularly. I'm just looking, he's actually refereed Sunderland more than any other club this season. And our points per game in that time is 1.4. Luton's, however, he's taken three games for Luton this season. They've got 2.3 points per game. Means absolutely nothing, really, other than that in those three games, Luton did quite well, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, other than that, really, it's all on us. As we've said repeatedly, I think I've had gripes about referees in recent weeks. I had gripes about the referee the other day, you know, but I try not to focus too much on that. Although it does feel like a good omen, doesn't it, that the guy who was in the middle for the playoff final takes the second game.
I'll take anything. Anything I can get.
Yeah, I'll take any omen. I'm going to be wearing me lucky kegs, me lucky socks, me lucky everything on Saturday. Quickly before we go then, predictions, how do you see this one playing out?
Well, that's it. I mean, I was going to kind of ask you quickly, if you were Tony Mowbray, would you be that desperate to win on Saturday? And don't get us wrong, we want to win, but like I said before, I think if we get a clean sheet at home, I think we'll come out and win the tie overall.
Do you know what it is though? I don't think we know how to play for a clean sheet.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. Like if we change up slightly how we play at home, and rather than a bit gung ho and try, you know, that we think we should walk over teams at home, I think if we're a bit more patient, you know, just keep the ball, frustrate Luton, because Luton have got a good record. They'll come up here with their away record. They'll come up here thinking they can take a lead into the game at Kenilworth Road. So if we frustrate them a little bit, keep the ball, draw them out, kind of you know, wait until their concentration drops and try and pick them off that way rather than kind of just, you know, press and press and press, then I think we might have more joy than we've had in the last three home games. But I think the emphasis is on not conceding, and I think everything else kind of look after itself. And I know we've got goals in us, but for that reason, where I think Mowbray is going to play this slightly differently, because like I said, I'm not sure we'll get away with it if we play like we have in the last three home games. I'm going to go for 0-0 on Saturday, and then we'll do them at their place.
I was going to say 1-1. Just looking at their, they'll have a 1-1 Luton. So looking at their result, and we've drew with them 1-1 twice this season already as well. I think actually the last four games between us and Luton have been 1-1 draws, haven't they? I mean, that means absolutely nothing what's happened before now. All I think is that in this game, like I said before, I agree with you. It would be nice if we could just change slightly, but I don't think we've got it in us. And I think he's going to tell them to go out there and do what we're good at. It's a lot about what we do and what we do when we've got the ball. And sort of bounce off your question before, I don't think Tony Mowbray is going to be particularly bothered about winning this one because he knows how good we are away from home. I think the thing he hangs his hat on more than anything is the fact that we have goals in us. He has said it repeatedly for weeks now. He comes out after a game and says, I told the lads you're going to score at some point. You will score at some point. They've got that belief in them that they're going to score a goal. And that's where we're dangerous, is that, and we've shown this against Luton this season twice actually, is that even when we've not played well against Luton, we've found a way to score. And that's what I'm thinking about. So I don't think we've got a clean sheet in us, because I think when Luton have got a 20-goal-a-season striker up front and are such a good threat from set pieces, because they are, they're really good from set pieces, and you think about our weakness from set pieces.
Yeah. That's worry, isn't it? That's my big worry.
Yeah, is that I think we are going to concede at some point. But if I'm walking away from the ground on Saturday and we've only drawn, I'm probably looking at it and thinking, that's all right, that, because we'll go away from home and we'll do what we've done for weeks now, against, and months now even, against better teams than Luton. I know, and I do respect Luton for what they've done, but we went away to Burnley and it was a master plan. And all right, we didn't win, but we worked out a way how to play against a really good team away from home who don't lose many at home. And in a knockout situation where the pressure's on, and we've had a lot of pressure on in the end towards the end of games in recent weeks, we've done the business. We haven't faltered. We found a way to get points that we've needed. So over the two legs, I still think we're going to win across the two legs. But Saturday is just one step on that sort of journey, isn't it? And you know, it's not the end of the world if we don't win it.
Yeah, and what you've just said has been true in those three games that we haven't played well in at home, because we didn't play well in those last three games, but we got 5 points. As you said, even when you know things aren't clicking necessarily as much as we'd like at home, the lads are still picking up points. And you talked about pressure as well. I mean, look, the players who were involved in that, which is quite a few of them that were involved in last season's playoff campaign, if they can go through that, the pressure that the whole club and the whole city put them under to get us back into the Championship, if they can come out of that on the other side of that like they did, I mean, this playoff campaign is going to be an absolute doddle in terms of pressure, because it doesn't feel like that to us. It won't feel like that to them. The only pressure that's going to come, and I think Jack Clark hinted at this, is probably going to come from the players themselves. Because I think they think that they're good enough to go on and win the playoffs and get us promoted. And I think they're listening to Jack Clark. I genuinely think that they don't think like some of us, like fans might, where I don't think they're surprised or thinking, oh yeah, we shouldn't be here or anything like that. Or, you know, how have we done this? I actually think the players think they should have finished higher, and they'll go into this thinking they should win the playoffs, and they'll probably put themselves under pressure.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens on Saturday. Chris, thanks for joining us, mate, as always.
No bother.
Appreciate your time. We'll be back with a review pod, hopefully talking about, well, Sunderland just not losing the game, I suppose, because we want some optimism heading into that second leg. Make sure you catch up with everything on roadreport.sbnation.com leading up to the game and the aftermath of the game, and we'll catch you there.
Hi, This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.